invite you to take your copy of God's Word and find 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In an hour or so, I will sit down at the dinner table with my wife and friends to a meal of roast beef and potatoes and peas and rolls, sweet tea. Are you inviting yourself, Monty? It'll be good, because she's a great cook. But before I go to the Sunday dinner table today, I'm going to take another meal with you, my faith family. And this is no ordinary meal that we're about to take. This is far greater than a Sunday dinner. So I want you to think with me about this subject. No ordinary meal. We have before us the elements of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, which we come as the people of God again and again and again, because our Savior commanded us to do so and because we desire to do so. As I said, this is no ordinary meal. This is a meal that's been ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And in the course of a church's life and ministry, there is no higher hour of worship than that hour when God's people come together around the Lord's table. This surpasses everything. And so this morning, this observance of the Lord's Supper gives us an occasion to reflect and to look. And I invite you to join me today in looking in four distinct directions as we come to the Lord's table. But first of all, I want you to follow along with me in the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words to the church in Corinth. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he, Jesus, took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." We observe the Lord's Supper because Jesus commanded it. Jesus said, "Do this. Take the bread, take the cup." So as we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table, think with me about how we might look in four directions regarding the Lord's Supper. Number one, it is a time for us to look back and remember Jesus' death. The Lord's Supper gives us an occasion to look back, 2,000 years, to look back to a bloody, crucified Savior on the cross outside the city gates of Jerusalem, to look back at that sacrifice that Jesus made for us and to remember that sacrifice. Look again in verse 23. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then down in verse 25, and the cup, whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. We come to the Lord's Supper because Jesus commanded us to come to the Lord's Supper. We take these elements, the bread and the cup, because Jesus commanded us to do so. And as we come to the Lord's table, as we remember the Lord Jesus, we're not remembering his miracles. His miracles are numerous. And there's occasion for us to remember the miracles of Jesus, but that's not our focus this hour. Nor are we remembering particularly his wonderful teachings like that contained in the Sermon on the Mount or like that contained in the Upper Room Discourse in John's Gospel. No, we are specifically remembering his death. We're remembering his body nailed to the cross, and we're remembering his blood shed on the cross. The bread is a reminder to us of the body of Jesus, and the cup is a reminder to us of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ reveals the love of God. We sang about that just a moment ago. In the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the greatest manifestation of love this world has ever known. The Apostle Paul penned it with these words to the church in Rome. He said, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners," that is, while our backs were turned away from God, "Christ died for us." But we can't just stop there. It's far more than a demonstration of the love of God. It is also an expression of the just and holy wrath of God against the sin of Adam's race. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the church in Corinth, said of the Lord Jesus Christ, "God made him who knew no sin," that's Jesus, "to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That sums up the message of the cross, that when Jesus went to the cross, he was not simply expressing the love of God the Father in sending his Son, or the love of God the Son in suffering for sinners, but he was taking upon himself the holy and righteous wrath of God against our sin. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The payoff for sin is physical death. The payoff for sin is spiritual death. The payoff for sin is eternal death. But on the cross, the sin of Adam's race, your sin, my sin, placed upon the sinless Lamb of God, he bore the just wrath of God against sin, that we might go free, that we might be pardoned, that we might be justified, that we might be reconciled, that we might be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This, my friend, is the gospel. We deceive ourselves if we think we're pretty good. We're not so bad. You want to know what God thinks about your sin? Look at the cross and see what sin did to Jesus. That's how much God hates sin, that the sinless Lamb of God would take it upon himself. In John's Gospel, we read that on the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And then he dismissed the spirit. Jesus paid in full our sin debt, that we might be reconciled to God and clothed in his righteousness. This is all of grace. Salvation is not spelled D-O-D-O, but D-O-N-E, done. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he made it white as snow. Every time we come to the Lord's table is the time for us to look back across 20 centuries, and remember the awful price that Jesus paid for our forgiveness. That ought to cause our hearts to swell up in love and adoration and thanksgiving nothing this world has ever known. There's a second direction I want us to look before we come to the Lord's table this morning. Not look back and remember the death of Jesus, but number two, I want to invite you to look around and experience Christian fellowship. I want you to look around the room. Just for a moment, look around the room and experience the fellowship that we have in the family of God. For you see, the Lord's Supper proclaims our common life in Christ Jesus. We don't live the Christian life in isolation. And this is a communal meal. We read in the Gospels that Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, gathered an upper room there in Jerusalem. And there he observed that Passover meal with the 12 apostles. It is a communal meal. We don't sit down to the Lord's table just by ourselves. This is an ordinance of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my ordinance or your ordinance. It's our ordinance under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There was once a time when a bride and a groom would say to myself or Brother Cliff, we want to have the Lord's Supper at our wedding celebration. And we agreed to do that for a time. But then we came to the conviction that sent the wrong message. Because what do you do when you have a wedding party on the platform like this and you have friends and family out there, but only two people are observing the Lord's Supper? It communicates that this is something special just for a bride or groom. You can just do whatever you want to when you want to, when in fact the Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't have to take place inside a building like this. It could take place outside. But it's not an individual ordinance. It's a church ordinance. It's something we do in the community of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do otherwise is to portray a false view of what the New Testament teaches about the Lord's Supper. This is a meal for believers only. This is no ordinary meal. This is a family meal. And if you're in the family, this is for you. And if you're not yet in the family, then we would encourage you to repent and believe and join the family and be a part of the family of faith. Enthrone Jesus as your Lord and Savior and follow Him. But if you're not there yet, then when the elements are passed, I just would respectfully encourage you to pass them on, because this is a family meal. You see, the Scripture teaches that first, we're converted. We're born of the Spirit of God. And then after we've been born of the Spirit of God, we profess publicly our faith in Jesus through the waters of believers' baptism. And then, and only then, do we come to the Lord's table. Now, I know full well there's some moms and dads out there. We've got a 5 or 6 or 7-year-old sitting by you, won't know why you can't have a snack. Just like my kids used to when they were small, and my grandkids today. Mom and Dad, it's your job to explain it to them, okay? They can someday if they'll come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's table. The Christian life is lived together in community. Now, it is our practice here when we observe the Lord's Supper to read together the covenant of Lakeview Baptist Church, because it is a reminder to us that this is how we live together as the people of God. So, I invite you to find your copy of the covenant of Lakeview Baptist Church, which is found in your worship bulletin today. And if you don't have that, it'll be on the screen. And I invite you to say it with me as we read together the covenant that we've made, one with another, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of His church. Would you join me? Having repented of our sins, and having trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we make the following covenant with God and with one another. By God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will support the testimony of our church by loving God supremely, by living a Spirit-filled, Christ-like life, by faithfully worshiping together on the Lord's Day, by regularly sharing the gospel with unbelievers, by demonstrating Christ's love to all people, by supporting the global missions efforts. We will guard the unity of our church by honoring its doctrines, by showing love for one another, by ministering to one another, by praying with and for one another, by speaking in a way that builds up others, by following the leaders chosen by the church. We will support the ministries of our church by giving generously of our finances, by being equipped to serve, by developing a servant's heart, by exercising our spiritual gifts in ministry. We will, when we move from this place, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. This is a covenant that we made together some years ago as the people of God. This is how we live together as the Lakeview Faith family. This is your family. These are your brothers and sisters. None of us are all that we ought to be, but by God's grace, we're not what we once were. And so this meal is a communal meal. If you are a born-again, baptized, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you may not be a member of Lakeview Baptist Church, you're welcome to join this faith family as we take the bread and the cup. There's a third direction I want to invite you to join me in looking. Number three, I invite you to look within and examine yourself. Look within your own heart, your own soul. Look in verses 27 and following. Paul says in verse 27 to the Corinthian church members, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." That, my friends, is a solemn, sober warning. Let the Spirit of God speak to you about this. Look at it again. Verse 27, "If you eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." We would never dare to come to the Lord's table with known sin in our hearts. Never, no, never should a child of God do so. If there is some sin in your life, some area of your life that's unsurrendered to the authority of Jesus, don't take the bread and the cup. You say, why? Look in verse 29. "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number have fallen asleep," which is the term that Paul uses repeatedly in his epistles for physical death of the believers. Apparently there were some people in the church in Corinth that were physically ill, and at least one member who had physically died because he came to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. So what shall we do? Look in verse 28. "A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." So we're going to serve the bread and the cup in just a moment. But before we do that, we need to examine ourselves. Psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The Lord's Supper is an occasion for the people of God to invite the Spirit of God to shine the searchlight of the Word of God on their own hearts. And if the Spirit of God convicts you of some sinful attitude or habit or relationship, confess it. Repent then come to the table. So I'm going to ask us just to take a few minutes now and just wait before the Lord and ask the Spirit of the Lord to search our hearts. Could you join me as I do the very thing I'm asking you to do? And Father, we thank you that sins confessed are sins forgiven. Amen. We're about to take an extraordinary meal. This is no ordinary meal. And I've invited you to join me today in looking around the Lord's table. Look back and remember the death of Jesus. Look around and experience the fellowship of the people of God. Look within your own heart and soul and examine yourself and allow the searchlight of the Word of God to shine brightly in your life. There's a fourth direction I invite you to look today. Would you now look up? Look up and anticipate Jesus' return. Clearly, the Apostle Paul saw that as a component of the observance of the Lord's Supper. For in verse 26, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian believers, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, that is, whenever you come to the Lord's table, you proclaim the Lord's death in a very symbolic and graphic and powerful way. The blood symbolized by the cup and the body of Jesus, symbolized by the bread, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is a time for us not just to look 2,000 years into history, but to look to the future. Jesus who came is coming again. That is our hope. That is our blessed hope, that this world will be made new when the King comes and ushers in the new heavens and the new earth. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we come to the Lord's table. We don't just look back. We look ahead. We look up. We're waiting for the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ shall be raised. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So shall we be with the Lord forever. That is our destiny as the people of God. And if you're not a child of God, if you'll repent and believe, that can be your destiny as well. So I invite you to join me as we come to the Lord's table in obedience to the clear command of Jesus.